We're talking about a new bill that would phase in diaper-changing stations in every restroom and how that would work for public buildings. What questions or thoughts do you have about requiring changing tables in restrooms? Parents out there, has the fact that lots of buildings that only have changing rooms in the women's bathroom, has it affected the way you have to parent? Dads in particular, have you struggled to find a place to care for your infant? What would help? Join in 800-642-1234. State Senator Chris Larson represents Wisconsin's 7th Senate District that covers Milwaukee, Oak Creek, and Cudahy. And he served in the state Senate since 2010. Senator Larson, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Glad to be back. Thanks for having me, Kate.
So let's talk logistics here. What would this bill effectively do?
So for any building that is under construction or gets renovation after this bill passes, the owner of that building would be required to make sure that restrooms designated for use by all genders and restroom designated for use by women and restrooms designated for use by men would have and maintain a baby changing station within those bathrooms. That's it. Simple as that. It's about making sure that any parent that's going out in public is able to change their child, which I think a lot of people in this day and age expect.
Is this currently regulated in any way in Wisconsin?
No. At this point, it's basically been up to commercial buildings. It's been up to private owners and for those in public to decide if they want to put these things in or not. So this was a big boom in the 80s and 90s where these started to become more and more available in public. But no, not in Wisconsin. There's not any regulation of these.
And it's not lost on me that the co-authors of this bill have talked about their own situations as a parent. Yeah. Have you struggled with the lack of access to changing tables yourself?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't talked about it in too much detail because it's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a gross topic. Most people don't want to talk about it in the morning. But yeah, we're all dads. We've all been there. We could tell our stories, but I don't think during your fun drive you want to hear that. But yeah, yes. And so it's about making sure that when you get into a bathroom, that if it's a dad, if it's a mom, whoever it is, that you're able to take care and make sure that your kid is clean and cleaned up well. We'll leave it at that.
So if this bill would become law, changing tables would be required in all restrooms on new or, you know, substantially renovated public buildings. And if it's successful, would there be future plans to include buildings that fall outside of this category?
Yeah, look, I think a lot of those buildings that are owned by private entities, owned by businesses, they're kind of at the forefront of it, actually, because they recognize they want shoppers, especially this time of year where people are going out and spending money. They want folks in there, and one of the easy ways to do that is make sure you have an accessible bathroom. People have kids, and people are going out and shopping with them. So I don't think we're going to get to that point. But I would say that this is, in other states where this has passed, it's been broadly bipartisan. In unique states like Arizona, Utah, California, Illinois, New Mexico. And it's just to make sure that for those that are in public spaces, where I think most young parents expect that, they'd be there.
What is the cost of this change to a business?
Yeah, so I think for most of these things, they cost about $100 to be able to install and put in. There's different private services. We're not mandating any particular group that does these. So yeah, it's about putting those things. But I'd change the question on you and say, what is the cost of not having these things in, right? So imagine going into one of these public buildings, if it's a public swimming pool or a public restroom, and you go in there and you're trying to change your kid and you can't do it. And I think it ends up making a messy situation, to say the least. And somebody will have to end up cleaning up after that. I think that is that's more of a cost than the initial cost of getting and maintaining these things.
What have you heard from fellow lawmakers so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think most people recognize it's a good idea. And what's been surprising is even the support from women, because while the three main co-sponsors were all dudes, we're all fathers, it's also about switching the gender norms, because I think there's this expectation for women to have to do this. And so the women go to bathrooms and there's a child baby changing station in there, but there's not one in there for the guys' room. and it kind of makes you wonder, well, wait a second, why is it expected that the mother has to take care of the baby every single time? And my kids are old, they're out of diapers now, but having gone in there, it was something that was like, okay, I can't really do it if there's not a child baby changing station in there. So I think mothers, that's been the most surprising thing, is that moms get this just as much as the dads do.
Oh, yeah. And you know that feeling as a mom when your spouse walks right out, back out of the bathroom, and you're just like, oh, all right, great. There's that feeling. We're talking about a bill that would have diaper changing stations available to both men and women in public buildings and commercial buildings. State Senator Chris Larson of Milwaukee's co-author is on the line with us. What questions or thoughts do you have about requiring changing tables in all restrooms? How do you make do when there isn't a changing table? Join in, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a moment for more conversation. It is State Senator Chris Larson right here on the Ideas Network. We're looking at new legislation that would require public buildings and commercial buildings with restrooms open to the public to have diaper changing stations, regardless of whether it's a women's restroom, whether it's a men's restroom, whether it's an all-gender restroom. And parents, have you had issues with the lack of access to changing tables? Join in, 800-642-1234. State Senator Chris Larson is a co-author on this bill, and he stays with us. Let's go right to the phones now. We have Keenan joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Keenan.
Hello. How's it going?
Good.
Good. So my daughter's 3 now, and ever since she was a baby, I've been the one that changes her when we go out to restaurants and things. And it kind of seems like most restrooms nowadays have changing tables in the men's room, but when they don't, it's pretty easy to change her on the countertop or sit on the toilet and change her in my lap. So I'm just wondering what the senator would say to someone that doesn't think that this is necessary, and how would this be funded?
Keenan, thanks for the call. Senator Larson, go ahead.
Yeah, so I would say, as much as it may seem easy to change your kiddo on the counter, I gotta think that most people would appreciate it if you don't do that, considering what, you know, where kids' bottoms have been. So this is about the making sure that everybody's safe and sanitary, and that you can do this in privacy in a bathroom. Which is the reason why that these exist. Yes, we can end up making do when it's it's an easy diaper change. But when it's not, you want to make sure these are in there. And I think as Keenan said, most places have figured this out and have those there, have the diaper changing stations installed already, because most people expect that. And I think it is more of a problem when it's not there. And you're expecting it and you need it than when it is.
And this baby bathroom bill doesn't have a budget line per se.
Right. It's just, it would be built into the expectations of future renovations and future new buildings.
Let's go to Mary now in Waukesha. Hi, Mary.
Okay. I had just 2 ideas. If they have these in public buildings, sometimes homeless people use these public library bathrooms to change their clothes and to clean up. And I think this would be a convenient table for them to set things on.
Well,
and also if someone wants to take drugs, this would be a convenient table for them to set them on. So someone will have to keep them clean. Otherwise, choosy about which bathrooms you put them in and what buildings.
Senator Larson,
single building.
Yeah, Senator Larson, when we think of public buildings, what are the buildings we're talking about?
Yeah, I think of public swimming pools, right? You think of public parks, park pavilions. You think of going into City Hall. You go to the state capitol. If you're going to the courthouse, all of these are public buildings, right? And so these are places that are pretty busy. So I have people going in and out of them all the time. And so you're going to have a lot of traffic that's going in there, and you're going to have, I think in most cases, again, people expect that. As far as addressing our homeless problem, yes, you're going to have that, as you have it in all public buildings. And I would say that the problem is more that we need to solve homelessness than it is about trying to shoo people out of public buildings.
Let's go to Edwin now in Rice Lake. Edwin, hi.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Really quickly, as we're running out of time.
I just wanted to say that I'm very thankful for this bill, and especially as an engaged gay man, I think that's especially important for same-sex parents and single fathers who may not have the option to have someone else change their baby when they're in a public space.
Edwin, thanks so much for the call. And Senator Larson, it is really about equal opportunity access here.
Yeah, I think there's a recent study from Pew Research is showing more and more millennial fathers are being the primary caretaker. So that number is ticking up. And so as that's happening, as we're achieving gender equity, I think it makes sense that you're making sure that dads can change their kiddos the same way that moms are. So it shouldn't be a burden that's expected on one gender or the other. It's about making sure that people can both take part in parenting, or as the caller, if it's a same gender, they have the ability to be able to do that.
Well, Senator Larson, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me. Good luck with a fun drive.
State Senator, thank you. State Senator Chris Larson represents Wisconsin's 7th Senate District that covers Milwaukee, Oak Creek, and Cudahy. Coming up, researchers broke down the impact of Foxconn subsidies. We'll look at their numbers in just a bit. You're with us on The Morning Show. News update is next. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Researchers at George Mason University have been running the numbers on government incentives, and the upshot is Foxconn Technology Group's manufacturing campus is likely to be a net loss to the Wisconsin economy. Back in 2017, you remember the legislature approved up to $3 billion in special tax credits that were intended to get Foxconn to build its plant and create about 13,000 jobs. Do you think this was a prudent economic move for our state? How important are economic development incentives to Wisconsin, to any city, attracting business? 800-642-1234 is the number to join in, 800-642-1234. Michael Farron is a research fellow at the Mercatus Center of George Mason University, where he studies the relationship between governments and businesses, and he specializes in labor and economic development. Michael, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
So this research that you did isn't exactly good news for Wisconsin. How did your findings and your look at government subsidies that are meant to increase economic growth, how could they have actually the opposite effect?
Well, the answer is that our study actually looks at the costs as well as the benefits. All of the three previous broad studies on the effect of Foxconn only counted the benefits of Foxconn coming to the state. It never actually counted the cost of the government subsidies, which have to be taxed out of the economy in order to provide the subsidies. And we find that for Wisconsin's promised $3.6 billion in subsidies over the next 15 or 20 years, that would cost the state economy about $20 billion.
So how does that work exactly when you parse those numbers? How do you see that working out to those numbers?
So whenever you have a subsidy, you obviously have to pay for it somehow. And the $3.6 billion that Wisconsin promised Foxconn could have gone instead to a 22% reduction in the corporate income tax for all businesses, for the other 15,000 businesses across the state that are paying that tax. And so as a result, you're reducing economic development and growth in one area to increase it in another area. And on net, we find that the effect of the deal with Foxconn, not the Foxconn facility itself, but Wisconsin's deal, a promise to provide subsidies for Foxconn, is likely to lead to, at this point, a loss between $1.2 billion and $6 billion. In total state economic growth over the next 15 years.
And so you're looking at GDP, gross domestic product here, that total value of goods and services in this span of time?
Exactly, yes. The total value of goods and services produced across the state will be lower as a result of the subsidies for Foxconn, which in the end probably weren't all that necessary, because a lot of businesses make the decision to expand or relocate despite government subsidies. Amazon HQ2, which just came to Arlington, Virginia, came to Arlington in spite of being offered much higher subsidies, even just across the D.C. area by Maryland.
Well, yeah, let's look at that for a moment. I mean, you looked at why companies choose the locations they do, what draws, you know, businesses to an area. And you saw some differences between how Amazon went about, locating its second headquarters versus how states approach economic development.
Absolutely. So Amazon is a perfect example that companies pick where to locate based first and foremost on factors affecting production and access to customers. So the ability to hire talented workers was the number one thing for Amazon and the number one thing for most companies. Alternately, access to local resources, if that is dependent on the company's production model, or logistical considerations like access to a port, are far more important than simply cash handouts. Because labor costs are about 14 times higher than tax costs in general, a small difference in the cost that you have to pay your workers would add up to much more of an impact than a tax incentive.
We're talking with Michael Farron. He's a researcher at George Mason University. He's been looking at the effect of government subsidies with Foxconn as a case study. You can join in. What questions do you have about government incentive packages for business development? Have you seen it work in your own community? And Southeastern Wisconsinites, have you felt an economic boost since Foxconn came to town? Join in, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Michael, state lawmakers in favor of the Foxconn deal have been encouraging similar development in the area, creating this industry cluster and calling it the Wisconn Valley. Did your study take into account that, you know, if they build it, they will come philosophy, if you create these business clusters?
So all the economic development subsidies are always trying to create the next industry cluster, and everyone's always trying to recreate the next Silicon Valley. So it's understandable that politicians and policymakers would try to do that, but the answer is that it really doesn't work. Clusters arise spontaneously from the local conditions that make it conducive to create a cluster. And one of the originators of the industrial cluster research, Michael Porter at Harvard, has actually said that governments can actually get in the way by motivating the wrong cluster to form, or motivating the cluster to form in the wrong place, that leads to greater economic inefficiency, because perhaps Foxconn would have been better to locate somewhere else in the U.S. if the subsidy did matter to their decision. But what the answer is going to be is slower national economic growth due to the misallocation of where industries are located.
So could Foxconn spur economic growth that we can't predict, that we can't run the numbers on at this point?
Absolutely. And that's part of one of the issues about this, is that a lot of people report the numbers regarding what Foxconn was going to do to the Wisconsin economy as if they were gospel. And at the end of the day, we really don't know what's going to happen. And Foxconn, in fact, has shown this pretty strongly, that they've already scaled back from a Generation 10.5 plant that would have needed about $10 billion worth of investments to a Generation 6 plant, which will only need about $2 to $3 billion worth of investments.
So the village of Mount Pleasant and Racine County, they created a special financing district to raise revenue to support the Foxconn project, build infrastructure. How do the investments from local governments factor into your research?
So actually they don't, because of the methodology that we used wasn't able to accommodate local spending in addition to state spending. We were only able to estimate the effect of state spending. That's the $3.6 billion that Wisconsin promised for Foxconn. But the additional $1.4 billion in local utility and federal subsidies, of which about $911 million of that is being spent by local governments, that doesn't count into our research. And at this point, because a Generation 6 plant would only be eligible for about $1.2 billion in subsidies, that $1.4 billion means that the subsidies that local governments are giving are about double what the state is on the hook for at this point, given that a Generation 6 plant instead of a Generation 10.5 plant is being built.
Well, let's take a call. Saeed joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Saeed.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm wondering if in the cost-benefit analysis, it's been taken into account that these jobs come with health benefits, and therefore the equivalent reduction in either the Medicaid, state Medicaid spending, or a reduction in subsidized purchases of healthcare services on the exchanges, as well as reductions in welfare spending on unemployment.
Okay, so looking at the offsets here, would there be offsets in healthcare, for instance, Michael?
So the values that we used in our methodology are broad-ranging values. They say for every 1% higher state taxation, you're going to see about 0.35% reduced economic growth. So they would be holistically including those effects that Saeed is talking about. Yes.
Saeed, thanks for the call. So, Michael, state and local governments, they spend a lot of time, a lot of money to increase economic development with this goal of increasing prosperity, quality of life. If subsidies aren't the answer, what methods can achieve those goals?
That's a great question, and it's probably good, again, to kind of look to the reasons why Virginia landed Amazon HQ2, which is it wasn't because of the subsidy. This was because, first and foremost, again, having access to local talented workers. And the only reason why Amazon considered going to New York City and then eventually canceled those plans was because they were worried that they weren't going to get enough talented workers. But Virginia also has an excellent business climate, and that is probably a major reason why it got the industrial cluster that Amazon will be bringing or will be expanding on. The answer is that you should have a general ground-up approach with the same policies and the same tax benefits available to every person and every company, not try to pick and choose winners and losers, because that's essentially just gambling with people's taxpayer dollars.
Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Michael Farron is a research fellow at the Mercatus Center of George Mason University, where he studies the relationship between governments and businesses.